Well, our scripture reading and theme comes tonight from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. A lot has gone on already. Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph, the census that brought this little family from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be registered, and then the birth of the Lord Jesus in verse 7, and now the announcement to the shepherds. This is the word of God. Luke 2 at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. This is the word of God. The brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we think about this Christmas message here tonight, I want to look at two particular points to remember. First of all, the light of this glorious message and decree, command to the shepherds is a command to us as well, do not be afraid. And then secondly, that we will also see the glory of God revealed. So that's our two points, do not be afraid. So we don't need to fear. And then secondly, we will see the glory of God. Now, the fact that the shepherds were afraid, terrified, in fact, in verse 9, was not surprising, because angels are not puffy white creatures that you want to pet. Angels are terrifying creatures who come from the throne room of God. They smell of the holiness of God, the glory of God. And they are fearsome creatures made by God himself. They are impressive. And, you know, every time someone's been confronted with the glory of God, they know that it's right to fear. Moses in front of the burning bush, Isaiah 6, right? He sees this vision of the throne room of God, and he's terrified. And he doesn't know what to do, and he knows he's a sinner all of a sudden. He knows it like he never knew it before in the context, in the presence of such holiness. Now, Solomon, when the glory of God fills the temple, he's terrified. That's what happens when a creature, and let alone a sinful creature, it comes into contact with the glory and the perfection of heaven. So they, like those before them and those after, get down and they get scared. The message to them, though, is one in keeping with the lowly birth of our Savior. Born to nobodies in a nobody town, we saw that this morning. And now the announcement to lowly shepherds. You know, when you think about shepherds, they weren't very important, significant. Jesus has come not as a king, and therefore he doesn't belong in mansions and castles with swords and guards around him. He comes down humbly, small. And it's not just the message, but it's the method of his coming that attracts us towards himself. For he comes in our place, like us, to draw us to himself. And the message of the angels is the message of the gospel. Without his coming, we have every reason to fear. But because he's come, we might now say and believe, do not be afraid. We don't need to fear because God has come down into our place, into this sinful world, to bring us up to God. And he has not come to condemn, but he's come to save. The message could have been, God is here. Look out. Time is short. You're about to be destroyed. But instead, the message is, don't be afraid. But I think about the angels, that song we sing, you know, about the angels winging their flight around the earth. You think about this angel and then the host of angels coming from the throne room of God. Just thousands of them ready in an instant at any time to do exactly what God tells them to do. And he summons them, and he chooses one of the angels, and he says, I've got a decree for you, a proclamation. Go down to these shepherds. I mean, the contrast is so stark from the glory of heaven and just the wonder and the awe of God's throne room down to lowly shepherds. The contrast is huge. And then, if it were not enough, one angel, the whole host of angels, full of glory, smelling of holiness, full of anticipation to talk about the message that God had given to them, ready to go. A Savior has been born. That's the message to these shepherds. In the city of David, a Savior who is Christ, the Lord, the one who kept the stars in its courses. I mean, they know the second person. They know the Son of God. They rejoice in the eternal Son of God every day. Such power. He's the Lord. He's the one who has now humbled himself to be our Savior. He's the anointed one. The one promised in the Old Testament. The one who came after David, the son of David, the Messiah. Messiah is just another word for anointed one, for the Christ. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. This unfailing promise has now been fulfilled, and in such a tender package, a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now that also, that message that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths is not just a description so that we might see this cute little baby in a manger wrapped in these nice white cloths. That was the way that the shepherds would wrap their babies. That's how peasants did, and shepherds were kind of lower than peasants. They were not allowed to give evidence in a court of law. They were considered unclean. They wouldn't have access to the temple and a lot of other things in Israel. And angels came down and said, just the way that you wrap up your babies, that's how Jesus the Savior is wrapped up. Go and find him. He's not in a mansion. He doesn't have a big robe, you know, embroidered with gold. He's in a manger where, you know, animals eat from. And he's wrapped just like your babies are wrapped. A lowly place, a lowly family. Perhaps then they would not travel that entire way just wondering if they would be laughed at for their message and for their journey. Perhaps they had some hope now that they would not be turned away when they got there, laughed away. Looking from the outside, you know, like usual, shepherds turned away, people, you know, turning up their noses literally at them because they had to deal with sheep all the time. This was their sign. This was a sign for them to encourage them, to draw them in to come and to find their Savior. I mean, most of the characters in the Christmas story were lowly, right? I mean, the angels were riveting. They were holy. But the characters are like us. This was their moment when the shepherds had a story to tell. You know, once in a while you get one of those moments where you've got a secret that everybody really wants to know and only you know it. And you just can't wait to tell it. That's what the shepherds had. Those are good moments. You got a story to tell. And this story is the best story of all. It's the good news. The message to the shepherds is also do not be afraid. Because it's good tidings of great joy. And we're afraid for many reasons. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid of possible sickness. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of what the future might hold. We're afraid sometimes of the past biting us in the present. We're afraid of being found out for our sins. We're afraid of loss. And we're afraid of God judging us for some sin. We're afraid of God forsaking us. There's a right fear of His glory, but the sign of the baby is a sign encouraging us no longer to fear. Good tidings of great joy for all people, including you. It's God's desire to the shepherds, clearly, and to us, to show mercy to us and to draw us in with His mercy. So God sends this huge choir to accent it, to add to it, to shout it out loud. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, will toward men. Zephaniah the prophet said that the Lord rejoices over you with singing. He will quiet you with His love. Zephaniah chapter 3. And here God comes down, and through the angels He rejoices over His people and over the birth of His Son with singing. He quiets these shepherds with His love. Do not be afraid. But that's not only for the shepherds, it's also for us, for we will see, secondly, the glory of the Lord. That glory shone around them in verse 9. So His glory became their light. The glory of God is something awesome, it's something fearsome, but it becomes their light. It attracts them towards Him and towards His promise, towards the decree. It shattered their nights, right? There must have been some cold, lonely nights out there, you know, watching over sheep. And a difficult job, career, because, you know, sheep constantly need care and attention. And He shatters their nights and their discouragements. He had come to be their Savior, their Lord. He gives us His glory so that our night is gone. The night of sin and guilt and shame and death. What is the glory of this baby? It's to give His life away. That's now the glory of God on earth. The Son of God giving His life away. His life will be lost. Ours will be saved. And it's a very personal decree. There is born to you. I mean, that's not a normal birth announcement. The normal one would be there is born to Mary and Joseph, a son. But instead, He makes it very personal to lowly shepherds. There is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That was their city, Bethlehem. It's a city that was full of hope. You know, Micah 5. You know, your little Bethlehem Ephrathah, but the Messiah is going to come to you. And they had this passed down through generations that something big was going to happen. Well, why Bethlehem? Well, the baby was born in Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus, one of the most powerful persons ever in the history of the world, who could just lift his finger and send people scrambling for a census back to their home cities, their birthplaces. So he lifts his finger and people have to move. That's why they're in Bethlehem. But here's a new decree. Here's someone who's even more powerful. He looks small. He looks insignificant. But there is born to you in the city of David a Savior is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord of all. And he's born as a Savior. A marvelous decree of salvation, redemption, reconciliation, freedom. Luther said that the difference between understanding Christmas, and Luther really loved celebrating Christmas. The difference between understanding Christmas and it passing you by lies in your ability to use personal pronouns. I have no idea where he said that, but the difference between understanding Christmas and it passing you by lies in your ability to use personal pronouns. And it's very specific here and very personal. There is born to you, shepherds. And we have to take a hold of those two simple words this Christmas, pushing through all of the paper wrapping and tinsel and everything else. There is born to you God's inexpressible gift for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to you. By believing in him, you might not perish, but have everlasting life. You. And in the Savior, you will never walk in darkness. It's the truest words, the best news you will ever hear. Is that a message that's loud and clear for you? Something that you hear, not just hear, but heed as a very personal message, personal pronouns. What is the message? It's a message of peace, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. The angels are come down to earth to declare just how great that glory is. But now, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And the heavens light up with that message, showing us that there are small beginnings indeed, but this kingdom will last forever and will exult in a great victory. Not just God with us, but God for us until the end. God for us and not against us. God for us in the person of Jesus, winning peace between us and him. What is this peace? It takes the place of the enmity that there should be between us and God. That there has been ever since the garden, this enmity. Not just the end of wars, but a presence of peace between the living God and us. God's goodwill towards men, women, boys, and girls. His good pleasure, his favor, his joy expressed in forgiveness and friendship rather than enmity with us. Christ in the wooden manger and Christ on a wooden cross, earning peace for us. And at the end, not one angel comforting him. But that's not how it will end. That's not how it will end. It will end with Christ, not in a manger or on a cross, but on a white horse coming back in victory. Christ in all its jaw-dropping splendor and majesty and beauty with countless angels coming back to totally finish what he started on Christmas. We need to hear well like the angels, like the shepherds did. Like Mary did, who kept all of these things and pondered them in her hearts. Do some pondering and some meditating this Christmas on what you've seen and heard. And the shepherds, you know, all those, there were many there in verse 18 who marveled at these things. But it doesn't tell us that they believe necessarily. This is the course of Jesus' life, and ever since, many will marvel But not everyone will believe. But the shepherds believed. They glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And they couldn't help but talk about it. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his revelation is the expectation that those who hear it next year or from the future can ever take away from this good news. It's the best news at all. It cancels out, eventually, all of the bad news that we might be experiencing or we might experience. For God has come. God with us, Christ for us. Nothing can defeat him. Nothing can cancel out the reality of the good news. John 1, verse 14, sums it out well in the conclusion here. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel, and please spread it abroad in our hearts. Help us to know it, believe it, feel it, experience it personally. It's a Savior born to you, to me, to us. It's a Savior for all who turn away from hope in this world, in ourselves, and turn towards the angel's message. Turn towards Bethlehem and towards the cross. Dear Father, turn us and keep turning us back to yourself. Help us to know this peace and passes understanding. Because thou didst give Jesus Christ, thine only Son, to be born at this time for us, who by the operation of the Holy Spirit was made very man of the substance of the Virgin Mary, his mother, and that without spot of sin, to make us clean from all sin. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord, most high. Amen.